Welcome to another episode of Ballin' Beats. I'm Raj and I'm here with the homie Mendo. What's going on, brother?
What up, man? What up, man? How you doing?
I'm chilling. We in here, you know, just finished watching this game 5, Knicks and Pacers. Today we're going to talk about the updates from all these series. But we'll kick it off with the Knicks. Kind sir, Knicks fan, resident Knicks fan.
Oh, we're going to...
How you thinking? How you liking the way things going? Besides the fact that y'all seem to lose somebody every game. Not this game, though.
This is all I got to say to you.
We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks.
Hey, you know you got to be 30 at least to know what this is. Okay.
I don't know how that's gonna translate. Producer may have a little, but it's okay. It's all right. We're out. All right.
So the Knicks today,
yes, sir,
absolutely destroyed the Pacers in the second half. How you like it? So we haven't spoken. The last time we spoke, the Knicks was up 2-0.
Yes.
After that, they went to Indiana. They got smoked off the floor in game 3. Mm-hmm. It was a tightly contested game in game 4. Y'all lost. Come back for game 3. It was pretty decent game up until the half.
Game 5.
Game 5, sorry.
Yeah.
It was a pretty, you know, nip and tuck game until about midway through the second quarter. The Knicks jumped out to a lead early in the third quarter. Indiana makes a run, gets it down to 7. Immediately, the Knicks go on like a 14-0 run or something like that.
This game was a game of runs. I mean, every time you turn around, it was a 13-3 run. It was a 9-0 run. It was a 7. And both sides going back and forth, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was a game of runs, but the Knicks were able to win this game because of the effort. One, you can tell
them dudes
the difference.
Play like they are fucking acid and Red Bull.
Yeah, you silly. You can tell the difference in effort when there's the energy is there. I feel like part of this though is due to, and shout out to Simon for talking about this in our little group chat. He was like, you know what they need to do? They need to put McBride on the court, get Precious on the bench, have him come off.
Yeah.
And sure as shit, because what it does is it frees up Brunson, because now you have a threat at that point guard position. And now if you're oversized, right? Because now it's harder to keep up with both Brunson and because you can't go and change your, basically you're changing your rotation to make it to where now you're going to force Carlisle's hand to either put McConnell out sooner.
Yeah.
Because little buddy there, who's little buddy that got cooked tonight? What was his name? For the Pacers. I mean, he got roasted by, I mean, I think
Nembhard. Oh no, Nesmith.
No, it was Nembhard.
He gave Nesmith the word. Brunson dropped him on one.
Yeah.
He crossed the shit out there.
I think he crossed him twice. He dropped him twice on one cross. Yeah, it was pretty sick. Yeah. But what I'm saying is though, you have 3 guys that can go and attack Brunson. So now when you keep McBride, Deuce on the bench, it allows Carlisle to have that attack, and I can just, you know, which is why they were so successful in the other 2 games. But now you put Deuce out there, and now Carlisle has to change his lineup to where now he's going to say, okay, who's going to be the main ball? So they put Halliburton on Deuce and let Brunson just free range cook. I mean, it was like he had his pick of what he wanted to do once that second half came in. It was a well executed game plan by Tibbs, with regards to ensuring that the Knicks were able to be effective in that not small ball lineup, although it is 2 6-foot guards, which, you know, my disdain for that. But in the playoffs, that can,
I think it's more on a small ball lineup. It's a short ball lineup. Because small implies that you can move them. It's not just a height thing. And it is really just a height advantage because the Knicks guards are so much stronger than the Pacers guards.
And I don't know what they were doing with Dante, but they were leaving that boy like in the dunker spot. They left him in a corner. Like, did you read the scouting report?
Hey, man, listen.
Did you?
The Pacers are putrid defensively.
They are.
They win by scoring.
They are.
And 91 points in four quarters ain't it. If you're Indiana, it's not gonna work.
No, you're right. You're right,
bro. 20 offensive rebounds for the Knicks. 20.
And how many of them went to Hartenstein? I mean,
12.
Dude played his ass off.
He had 12 offensive boards and 5 defensive boards. Ridiculous.
And threw you 5 assists. Cut it out.
Yo, though, Hartenstein is fantastic. Like, it's almost weird for me because I'm like, what would this Knicks team look like if they were fully healthy? Because would we even be seeing all these dudes knowing that Tibbs? You know what I mean?
Like, I told you this. I told you this in our chat the other day.
Yeah,
dude, we would not see Precious. He wouldn't have.
Yeah.
If there were no injuries, he never would have sniffed the court.
Yeah,
be honest, he never would have sniffed the court.
Yeah,
Burks would have been in isolation station.
Nope. We 18 know, tonight on 55% shooting.
Burks, and you know, I've had my fear of Burks because there are times where, depending on the unit that he's with, he kind of feels like, I'm Utah Alec Burks, and I can just, you know, I'm just...
just do my thing.
Right.
Let me cook.
But the last 2 games that he's come in, he absolutely understood the assignment. He understood the pecking order, too.
Mm-hmm.
He understood, because there's there's a thing that happens when you understand, okay, you know what? I'm here to do this job.
Right.
And he didn't play out of his head. He was corner threes like Tibbs has it set up. Like, he lined it up. So, Burks, you know, I didn't have...
That's 2 straight games he's played very
well. Yeah. I didn't have the fear of...
20 in game 4, 18 in game 5, efficient.
And I think he came in game 3 and had I mean, that was garbage time though at that point in game 3, but
well, I mean, that might have gotten him in rhythm for the other games.
Right.
He had 14.
But think about it. Dude came over from the Pistons at the break, at the All-Star break. You know, just before at the trade deadline, I should say. And I think he maybe played like maybe 10 games.
Yeah, he ain't getting really no burn.
He got cut out real quick.
Yo, but listen, that's the saying, right?
Yes.
Some people get ready. Some people stay ready.
Some people stay ready. You ain't lying.
You ain't lying. Ready.
So I'm going to be interested to see. You've got a couple days off. I'm hopeful that, you know, OG can get that hamstring, but you know hamstrings just as well as anybody. That shit don't heal the way, you know, you want it to. Hey. So...
Listen, I think you, meaning you, y'all's Knicks, and my Celtics could both use you guys taking this to 7.
Ain't this a bitch?
So
you can get
KP back, and y'all can get OG back.
Oh, man. No, we ain't. Listen, I already told you, man. Them damn Celtics need to go somewhere because...
But no, we'll talk about the Celtics in a few. But nah,
the Knicks, like I said, to wrap this piece up with the Knicks, I feel like they played well. They trusted each other.
Yeah.
Because there were times that the extra pass was made. There are times that the guy was cutting that may not have necessarily happened before. But when you trust and you commit to the play. So
we did not play hero ball today like
that.
No,
there was no.
To the Knicks.
And I mean, Brunson went, 18 for 35, 44 points. He didn't take anybody out of the game.
But it wasn't hero shooting.
No, that's what I'm saying. He didn't take anybody out of the game. It was all just within the flow of the game.
Right.
You know, so the one... And the
poor
one,
McConnell down there, man. He cheated that boy like a child.
They really went at him. I'm going to tell you this, though. The one concern that I have is the rotation on defense. I feel that there were times, especially in that first half, again, first half, but it happened also in the second half a couple different times where, you know, the ball started swinging. See, before it got out of, before it got, you know, out of hand, the ball skipped and the ball was, you had Turner a couple, three, four different times where Hartenstein was out of the rotation properly and couldn't recover back. You got to read the scouting report. Turner's going to hit them threes. Turner don't want to go inside regardless, especially if it's someone that's bigger than him or as big as him. Turner's going to stay outside.
He doesn't play with force. He's not a force player. No.
So you got to stay outside. You got to stay on that. You know what I mean? When screens come, you've got to hedge because if not, he will eat that three up, right? Picking three, that's going to be it. So that's the only concern I had. The effort was great tonight. Hats off to the Knicks. And I'm looking forward to Friday, but I'm cautiously nervous.
But as you know,
yes, sir.
When coaches, and this is speaking from experience, even though I coached, you know, AAU level and stuff that for a bunch of years, but it happens on every level. The first thing that suffers when you go deeper in the rotation than you're used to is defense.
Well,
and it's communication, rotation, those things are the first things to suffer. Because you're going to get buckets. The offense is the offense. But connectivity defensively, as you start putting less, you know, guys that haven't been playing as much, the rotations are a little slower. The anticipation is not quite the same. It's an adjustment period.
I would say that would be absolutely true with a team like the Pacers, Dallas, you could probably even throw in Cleveland. Teams that have like that 10-guy rotation, 9-guy rotation still in the playoffs right now, I can see that being a situation. The Knicks are running. The Knicks are absolutely running an 8-guy rotation.
Man,
Hartenstein needs to know after game three what Turner's going to do. After game two, truth be told, after game two. Now, again, to your point, you got Burks. Okay. He's not getting, but Burks stayed at home.
You said 8-man. They're running a 7-man rotation right now. 7.
Was it really?
It is 7. Yes. It's 7.
Oh, shit, it was.
Yes.
Damn, it's a 7-man rotation. It was 7.
Yes.
Wow.
7. Yeah. I don't know how they do it.
And look at this.
Yo, the conditioning, whatever somebody's going to, the Knicks have to employ the greatest strength and conditioning team.
Bro, they must be doing like hot works or something like that, man, where they're in the sauna for like,
that,
you know,
riding.
No, I'm telling you, dude, they probably in there riding bikes at like 130 degrees.
Yo, for like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, you think, like, yo, humanly, it's gotta come back to bite him in the ass at some point. But like every time they go and you're like, oh, they get smacked, you're like, ah, they're starting to wear down. They come back the next game and then they just back on and rolling. Well, limping, let's go.
I think
back on and rolling.
I think the last game was the game that was a smack because game three was a good game.
Yeah.
It just
It was game three that was the smack. Game four is the one they took down to the wire.
Am I backwards?
Yeah. The first game in Indiana is when they got just smashed right in the first half.
Nah,
just,
dude, I think you're wrong. Why am I thinking you're wrong?
Hold on, let me double check.
Why am I thinking you're wrong there?
Oh no, I'm sorry. You're right.
Game four was the
game. Three was the tight one. Yeah, game four was the right.
So
yeah,
and I think that's where, if you look at it, game four was essentially how many games did they go with? Old buddy was at 6, right? So that was the 10th game. So that was about right that you're going to have a little fall off.
Man.
You've been playing, you know, hard at that point, the game before, I think game three was the first time he sat in the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. He played 39 minutes today only.
Only.
Only 39 minutes.
But McBride and Brunson played 40 and 43 respectively. That's wild. A two guard rotation like that.
It's crazy.
Wow.
It's crazy. And then they bring old buddy in.
Who?
And he's right back at it. McBride. Hey, McBride, go play 40 minutes. Go get it.
Yeah.
Like right off the it's crazy.
There's no concern. Like it's not a fact. You know, yes, you can wear people underground, and yes, we make the joke about it, but injuries happen when you're not prepared. True. Obviously, there's a freak injury that happens. I'm not talking about that, guys. But you are more likely to get injured when your body is not performing at the same level it's used to than you are performing at the same level it's used to.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just it. Now, will Josh Hart only play, 10 seasons in the NBA? Maybe. Maybe.
We'll see.
I kid.
We'll see.
Josh, I kid. You and me. But
your prediction. Y'all think y'all end this in the next game in Indiana?
I do think it's going to go 7, unfortunately. I feel like game six is going to be a nail biter. I feel like it's going to be a nail biter. Probably going to be Brunson or Dante hits a 3 to put him up 2. And then fucking Halliburton's going to come through with a damn 3 with like 0.5 seconds left.
I would love for it to go 7. I think the Knicks are going to blow them off the floor.
I'd like to see that.
They're going
to
punish them physically, break them mentally by the third quarter, and then cruise to the end.
Well, they were already broken mentally today, because if you look at it, that second half, that was, Halliburton had 13 points.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
Carlisle.
He had 9 attempts.
Yeah.
Period. Like, he had 9 attempts. Like, listen, I equate the Knicks. So for those that don't know, I box, right? So
I've
sparred against some pros. I've, had some exhibitions, whatever. The Knicks, I equate them to the tough dude that's not necessarily as talented, fast, flashy, but you hit him with everything you got and that motherfucker keep coming. And at some point, you're not even fighting them no more. You're just beating them off of you. You're just leave me the fuck alone. That's what the Knicks are doing to the Pacers. The Pacers are like, leave me alone. And the Knicks are like, nah, you're getting this work. You're getting this work. So I think this is over. I think this is over Friday. I think this one's a wrap. This one's a wrap.
You might be right.
Let's jump to the Celtics and Cavs. So the Celtics yesterday went up 3-1 on the Cavs.
Mm-hmm.
Donovan Mitchell's got a calf issue.
Mm-hmm.
They kept it close for a while. The Celtics kind of kept them at around the 7 to 15 to 18 point deficit for most of the game. They'd run it down. The Celtics would extend it. They'd run it back down. The Celtics extend it. They hit a bunch of threes, them being the Cavs. But eventually, in the end, the Celtics were able to essentially just grind out buckets on them. It's very likely that this series is going to be over tomorrow night.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have Mitchell's not going to be playing tomorrow, or
he's day to day.
I think there's 3 guys on the questionable list for them.
Mm-hmm. Him, Jared Allen.
Yeah.
There was somebody else. Yeah, but they just don't seem to have the firepower and defense. Like Strus and them had great games.
Yeah.
But like it's hard to keep up with that. Like you gotta score consistently to stay to keep up with Boston.
But little buddy there had a blowtorch game, but you can see that's
can you sustain it? Is the problem.
Right. It's not sustainable.
Yeah.
It's absolutely not sustainable.
It's like you literally need if you're Cleveland, you literally need 2 guys at least to play above their level to even keep you in it at the end.
Right.
Right. And I just don't feel like they can consistently get that second guy playing above his life. Like, even when you have Mitchell and Garland playing well, you still needed even a third guy. When they won, it was Mobley, right? And with that being said, our resident postmaster, if you will. if y'all don't know, we have this running thing between me and Jay where anytime somebody's cold in the post, if y'all never played with Mendo, post game is legit, always has been, strong as shit, footwork, all of that. So anytime I see post work, I hit up Jay and I'm like, yo, is he also a Mendoza Academy graduate?
Yes.
So, yes. As the dean of the Mendoza Academy,
yes,
what is your take on Evan Mobley? I feel like the talent is there to be more than what he is inside. What's missing?
The fact that he's a young guy settling for the outside jumper is one thing. I feel like he does not have the confidence, maybe, that he could really work that. Mm-hmm. I mean, because how long has he been in the league? This
is his third year.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we was talking about LeBron as big as he was for how many years? And we were like, how come he's not going down in the post cooking people? Mm-hmm. And it took him till what? Second year Miami.
True. But he was also a perimeter player who basically is a point guard.
That's fair. But I'm just saying, I'm just talking about the factor of finding it later on.
The top,
But someone should really be talking to this kid right now. Yo, we got like crazy thunder all over my head. I don't know if you hear this, but this shit's wild. Hey, this shit's wild. It's like the house.
You talking blasphemy?
but seriously though, I feel like he needs to figure out he can go down and cook. I do feel he's a little light in the onion for so maybe that also plays into it.
Do you think it's the fact that he's light? Or the fact that he plays with poor leverage?
Well, also,
I don't feel like he sits when he posts like he should.
Also, too, and this is funny because this happened last night, on a team with two post players or a post player, where does the other guy go?
You got to go high post.
Right.
So free throw line? Or you got to play opposite dunker?
Or you got to go to the three. Right, but you have to move out. You have to move out is the point. So I don't feel that they're really. I feel because Jared Allen can't play out.
Yeah,
that he naturally becomes the. And then at that point, it's. I don't know if it's a mismatch or whatever, but I just.
So what do you do at that point when one big you want to run offense through for any degree, and another big is not a floor spacer and not really a post threat? Well, what do you do then?
I mean, I guess you probably have to look at what Minnesota's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
But they have a three-point shooter in Cat, who they keep outside as a perimeter player.
Well, what is Mobley at three-point? What is he probably under 30?
Not great.
A little under 30, probably?
Yeah.
Maybe between that 28. I'll give him between 28 to 32.
Actually, no. 37%. It's actually pretty solid.
In the playoffs or regular season?
No, regular season.
What is he in the playoffs?
Ooh, that's a little different.
Maybe that's why I feel, because I don't watch them obviously during the regular season, but what I've seen in the playoffs, I feel like he's been.
He's at 33, but he's only taking like one a game. So he's not really volume.
Not volume. Well, also, I mean, can you be volume when you have Garland and Mitchell on the team?
True.
You're not going to have high volume. So even
at the same time, how does he improve if he has to step away from the basket for a guy that's not an offensive threat?
You're going to have to probably look at someone leaving that team.
Oh, man.
Before you even think about that kid flourishing.
Man.
You know, he may be almost in the same kind of situation that old buddy out in Phoenix that went to Portland ended up doing. Right, because DeAndre Ayton, because once DeAndre Ayton went to Portland, you saw a difference. It opened up for him.
Yeah.
Right. So you have Garland needs the ball to be effective.
Yeah.
Mitchell needs the ball to be effective.
Man.
That already right there, you're probably at like 65 to 68% usage.
Man.
Yeah. So you're not going to be trying to run any kind of offensive sets through Mobley.
Yeah.
That's just kind of the fact of it. I would love to see,
you get a lot of switches. So he gonna have to get his ass down there and work.
He has to. But I mean, but then again, too, how much does Turner go down?
Yeah.
How much does he go down?
We knew that off rip. He don't.
Right, but
he is a floor spacer, period.
Right, right.
And Mobley's
a tweener because he's got the post potential. He doesn't have the three play, but he tries to stretch that floor out, you know?
Yeah, man.
I would like to see him either get with, and I know there's not many of them out there anymore, but a ball facilitating point guard.
Well, Garland is that.
Yeah, but Garland
defers a little bit to Mitchell.
Yeah, but
Mitchell is the more ball dominant scorer.
Yeah, but I feel also too, though, although Garland, yeah, I can see that. I take that back. I take that back.
We'll see next year though, because Mitchell's very likely out of there.
Probably.
So at that point, the ball shifts back to Garland. Maybe that works, but Mobley's got to get his ass into the gym and figure out what he wants to be.
Right. What are you trying to be? Because if you're not going to be down there effective in the low post, which I think he could be both. I do. Listen.
Yeah.
There's numerous guys. There's Joker, right? There's even Towns. There's Sabonis, right? Mm-hmm. There's Vucevic in Chicago. There's multiple centers that can play.
Valanciunas developed a 3-point shot.
He put up a couple shots.
Mm-hmm.
He's
not a liability.
He's like not a liability, right? You know, he's not a liability. So when you already have
Horford,
there you go. You know, there's even Porzingis.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, he needs to figure out, can I be a new age center?
Yeah.
Right.
But in 3 years, I feel like he hasn't made a huge jump offensively so far.
Bickerstaff's been there all 3 years.
At least two. At least two.
Okay.
Because that's the thing, right? So when they drafted him.
Yes.
Right? I would have never thought we were going to spend this much time on Evan Mobley. But when they drafted him.
Tangents.
Right. His profile, if you will, was a more athletic. He was basically young KG defensive demon type. And the hope was, he's great defensively. Mm-hmm. Can we develop the offensive side? It's been a slow burn, development-wise, on the offensive side. Defensively, he's awesome. Offensively, it's a slow burn. How slow is that burn going to be, or are we going to wait before we determine, all right, that shit ain't burning?
He's
just going to be a defensive demon, and that's just going to be what he's. That's what he is.
That's a redundancy. You can't have a lot of money vested in.
Yeah,
because that's a lot of redundancy, and you're not stretching.
You know
the floor.
He's going to ask for big money, man.
Absolutely, and you're not stretching the floor. Like I don't think he's averaging, you know, 16 and 9 a game.
Yeah. A lot of it's putbacks though. It's not like, you know, they're energy buckets.
I would love to see him get in the gym and maybe get with, you know, an Akeem.
That'd be nice.
You know, to where you can teach him, okay, this is how you use your body. This is how you use your leverage. You know, you don't want to go too far on the block. You want to stay kind of up a little bit so you can not cut yourself off.
I love how you said that. because
What?
It's infuriating how many players, like on switches, bigs, yes. they get a small, they get a guard on their back, and they basically push them down without the ball onto the block,
mm-hmm.
and when they get the ball, their upper foot is on the block.
Yeah, no, no.
And then they drop step to the baseline and they're behind the backboard. And it's like, yeah. yo, dog, this is basketball post play 101.
Yeah.
Why are we seeing the quote unquote best players in the world do this so often?
I don't know why you would cut yourself off on the baseline. You know, I mean.
Man.
If you could see Rogers losing it.
We are now officially old heads, right? We're in our 40s, and to the younger generation that looks at us watching ball, we're considered old heads.
Yes, yes, we are.
So shit like that is annoying.
It is. It is. It is, because there's no reason for it. Just give yourself the space. But what I also don't want to see, though, is a turnaround to the elbow. Like, you've backed away now, and a turnaround elbow for a jumper or enough time for the defense to now collapse on you.
Yeah.
Now you, yeah.
Hey, no.
But to your original point, and this is crazy that we did spend this much time on him, but I would love to see him get proper coach, like, that's going to spend time with him, because there is an upside. I could see him.
Oh, his,
I could see him.
Talent's crazy.
I could see him being a 25-12, 25-14.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely can see that.
Oh, but that talent is there.
But
athleticism,
way he plays, I don't know if it's either fear or, you know, you ain't got hit in the mouth enough to where you're like.
Hey, man, look, some motherfuckers just don't like contact.
Yeah, that's true. No,
just
it's true.
Their bag.
It's true.
Like,
it's true.
You know? All right.
Yo,
so anyway, so Celtics in five.
Celtics in five. But
Celtics in five. All right, out west.
Wait, hold on. Mavs. Hold on. I told you we got like thunder booming above my head. Let's take a break. Let's pause for the cause. Let me make sure everything's strapped up out there and I'm not. You know, you're not gonna find like half my yard in somebody else's, you know, front porch.
Let's jump over to the Thunder and the Mavs. So we're back to 2-2.
Yep.
But I don't know if you feel like this, but to me, it's 2-2. I feel like the Mavs are up 2-2, if that makes sense. I feel like the Mavericks have outplayed them most of the series, most of the last three games. But OKC came out with the win last night in game four.
I don't know if it's necessarily that they've outplayed them, but they've made this series. I mean, not outplayed them. I'm talking about like them being up. There is a momentum factor right now that the Mavs have. I think part of it has to do with just Kyrie being able to
he balled his ass off.
Yeah. There's something right now about Kyrie that you wish you had with the Celtics a few years back.
Listen, yeah, bring up old shit.
No. Oh, sorry. My bad, dude.
opening up. Yeah,
but you see that the potential is there. You see also too, Tim Hardaway Jr. has played. That's a difference maker. Mm-hmm. That's a huge difference maker. Mm-hmm. He stretches the floor. He gives them different looks. So I think part of this, to your point, it does, even though it's 2-2, the Mavs have momentum going into this game five tomorrow night by the time we record this. But I think that you can't count out OKC.
No.
You know, there's this right here. We'll go.
They're not even playing great.
This will go seven games.
It should. It should. Like, for me, couple of points for me. It is both dope and infuriating to me seeing Kyrie actually give effort defensively with the consistency he's been giving in this series. In this playoffs, really.
Why is it infuriating?
Right? So for me, if Kyrie and that team in general continues to defend it the way they are, they can give any team in the playoffs a monster series if they get past this one. Because I didn't think the Mavericks were going to be able to, I didn't think they were capable of defending the way that they are.
I mean, you've got Luka buying in on defense.
Luka and Kyrie buying in.
Yeah.
Right? And then on top of that, even though Luka's hurt, it feels like it doesn't really show because he doesn't play fast to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But he gets to his spots inside. He's still playing physical. He still gets to the paint when he wants to. And then the other thing, PJ Washington has like played out of his mind all of a sudden.
Yes.
Yes. Right? He's like Ray Allen from the corner all of a sudden. Right? It's like every shot he takes out the corner looks good.
Yeah, he's really playing well. I like, you know, we've talked at end about Wively's game.
Yes.
You know.
And Gafford. Like, they are both playing out of their minds as well.
I always forget Gafford's name. I was called out on that.
Yeah.
How you always forget that dude's... what's his name? Yo,
shot blocking.
Yep.
Above, you can't help when Kyrie and Luka come barreling down the paint.
No.
Or the second, or that secondary screen where they screen and then they quasi switch, but not really. And then you get downhill and it's like, okay, now what are you going to do? The moment you take one step towards the ball handler, the ball's up near the rim.
Right.
The ball's up near the rim and them two dudes go get it. Right? Anytime. Yeah. And it feels like, to me, most of the stuff we saw during the season with OKC and the ball movement and da-da-da-da, you know, and all this like motion, either they've stopped doing it or the Mavs have force them to stop doing it.
I feel like the Mavs have forced them to stop doing it.
Yeah, I agree. But like, when you see it, it's like, y'all ain't gonna, like, having Shea have to constantly go one-on-one is not how y'all got here.
Nope. And remember, I told you this maybe just around the All-Star break, I told you. And this isn't just specifically to OKC, but this is, teams are letting these teams play out so they can see what they have to offer.
Yeah.
So that way now I've got a whole bunch of tape on everything that this team can do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to isolate in the playoffs come, I'm going to isolate on this. I'm going to isolate on this. I'm going to isolate on this. Teams do have some sense of strategy on this because now they've seen how you've played all season.
Yep. OKC in this series has looked like a young team that has run into a veteran, you know, LA fitness team that's like, all right, we're going to turn this into a rock fight. What you got?
My dude said the high school varsity squad went to LA fitness and got ruined.
Yo, and was like, look, man, yeah, y'all are all cool. It's all well and good. You running and jumping and, you know, playing all this fast. Now, what are you going to do when we slow this game down? You know, put these trunks in you, right? Put these bodies on you. Now what?
People don't understand how, you know, and I guess this is why the term two-way player came out. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when we were younger, guys that just instinctively, actually, when we were younger, guys were probably more defensive than they were offensive. You only had few, which is why, like, you didn't have that many 20-point scorers when we were younger, right? Yeah.
Like two per team at least.
I think you probably have triple the amount of 20-point scorers than you did, let's say, 85 to 90.
Easily.
Okay?
Easily.
So we came up from where guys were more defensive. Mm-hmm. You got into the league if you were defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah, and the rules were also different. So anyways, outside of that, what I'm saying is this whole two-way player thing, people don't realize how much it weighs on you to have to play defense. That you can't necessarily turn that over into offense on the other end. So that's why being a two-way player is so...
Legs get heavy, baby.
Right? Damn. Mm-hmm. I can't cover this guy again. So when you get the business, when they start putting them tree trunks on you, it makes a difference on what you're able to do on the other end. Your shot gets flat, right? Mm-hmm. The ball doesn't come up to you the same way on that dribble.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, wait, there's a dead spot here. How'd I hit this? You know, so these things happen. Yep.
You get to the rim, you start overshooting layups, right? Undershooting layups, waiting for contact. The contact may or may not get there. You start worrying.
And then what happens when you've been given the business all this time? Mm-hmm. You come back on the offensive end. You go and give more physicality to try to offset. And then offset. You
get charges. Yeah. Yeah, man.
It all plays into it together. So, OKC and the Mavs, I feel that's going to go absolutely. Absolutely, that's going to go 7 games.
Yeah. Yeah. Yo, you know what's wild?
Hmm.
When I watch... Like, you watch the NBA all year, and you see, like, the Celtics style of play. Ball movement all over the place. Mm-hmm. Denver, ball skipping all over the place. You're like, man, like, these are good offenses. OKC with that ball skipping. Then you watch the Mavericks, and you're like, how they winning with this shit? It's like ISO, 1-2 passes. They always get a good shot.
Yeah, but like I told you, though, Dallas... Beginning of the season versus Dallas after the trade deadline, two total different teams. I want to see this team, and I've said it before, I want to see this team have a full offseason together, like a full training camp together, and see what they do next season. That's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, now it's not so much the ISO outside of, you know, Luka like waiting for someone to cut, and then he's, you know, but I feel that you're not going to get many skip passes. You may get two or three passes at most on a possession. And that's only going to be if they're trapping well to force you out of that.
Them two dudes attract so much attention. Do you need to have all these skips and ball rotations and all that? Because teams seem to help. Like, they force you to help more than most teams.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Right.
And you kind of have to, because you don't know what is going to happen when the ball's in either one of their hands.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, Luka's going to shoot, but you don't know if Luka's going to back you down to the elbow and try to do something.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know if he's going to pass out of the elbow, or is he going to drive is he going to turn around and jump? Kyrie's going to shoot a three, or he's going to get to the basket and do some magic.
Yeah.
So, you know, so there's a little, not predictability, but this, you know that you're not going to get, you know what you're going to get out of them, but can you stop them?
That's the issue. So I'm going to put you in Coach Dagnall's shoes. Mm-hmm. Do you keep helping the way that you've been helping?
I mean.
Or do you go, all right, we're just going to try to play this man up, you know, and let these two dudes go to work? and then just hope that by not allowing all the mother dudes to get, you know, in any rhythm, risk it. But also the problem is you might foul out whoever it is that you're putting one-on-one with no help.
Right. So who can you afford to put one-on-one?
I mean, I don't care what nobody say. Dort's been doing as good as he can.
Yo, I was just going to say that. Lou Dort is doing just about all he can.
Yeah. But he's still getting like early foul trouble like the last three games.
Yeah, he's got to learn how to play with his feet. He's not playing defense with his feet.
Yo, but he's also giving up like 30, 40 pounds to Luka.
You know, me personally, if you're going to put me in coach's shoes, I would almost put Dort on Kyrie.
And were you going to shift Jalen Williams to?
Yep. Shift Jalen Williams to Luka. Then you can put Shea on Tim Hardaway when he's in, or the other kid that's out there.
But you just finished saying that the two-way thing nowadays actually takes those legs away. So you're going to take your second scoring option and put them on and be like, yo, you got to take Luka now.
Sometimes
and
you
risk that
but
shot creation, right?
But you still have offensive firepower that's there.
Yeah.
You know, if you tell me right now, Jason, I don't need you to do anything else, but I want you to sick this dude.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to expect any offense out of me? No, I don't expect no offense out of you. I'm on it. Man. I'm on it. I'm going to sick him. I'm on it.
Man, it's very few of them dudes. Dort is one of them dudes.
But he is.
I don't know about any of the rest of them dudes.
Which Williams is it? There's one Williams that I think has that.
That's the Jalen Williams that comes off the bench.
Yes.
Or are you talking about Kyron Williams? But he's the smaller one.
No.
It's the other Jalen Williams.
There's two Jalen Williams. I'm talking about braids.
Oh, that's the Jalen Williams that starts. He's the second leading scorer on that team. He's the bucket getter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also a very good defender, but he's the bucket getter.
He's a good defender.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that's yo, man. It's tough because once they start going, the Mavericks also, they got like, you know, we was talking about it in a group chat the other day. I don't know if you even saw it, but during that not this game, but game three when they like blasted them. I was like, yo, like Mavericks runs feel different.
Oh, yeah.
They feel like the Knicks runs, right? Because, you know, it's not like the Celtics runs where, you know, they get stops and they're coming out and they're bombing you with threes and they're running you off the, you know what I mean?
Right. They're hitting you with hate.
Yeah. The Knicks in the Mavericks, they have like 80s style runs where they're bombing you up with twos.
Mm-hmm.
And some threes, but they're bombing you with twos, slower pace. So it feels like, so when they grow that lead to 15, it feels like 25 because they've been doing it over and over.
And that
with
wears
physicality.
On you.
So that's where I think OKC, when they've had that, has struggled. Because they're like, yo, like usually it's like a fast-paced run.
Mm-hmm.
But there, it's like an elongated physical run that it's just like they're just repeatedly punching you in the mouth.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you do with that, especially when you're a young team. The average age is 23.
Yo, they're a young squad, man.
You know what I mean?
I feel you might have actually, you know, increased that number a little bit. Who on that team is that old?
Yo, I think it's some dudes on the bench.
Okay, so Gordon Hayward and Bismack Biyombo are the ones that boost that up. They track that up because ain't not a damn one of these kids out here older than they can't. Matter of fact, half the team can't even rent a car.
Yo, they
have the
only
team
three dudes over 25.
What I just say?
Three.
What I just say?
That's crazy.
Wild.
They got six dudes that are 22 or younger.
Mm-mm.
That's crazy.
Get out of here.
It's crazy. But that's what it comes down to. So now you're playing against grown folk.
Uncle right? Gordon, can you rent that stretch limo for us?
Yo, you playing some grown folks.
We're going to go out and celebrate Giddy's birthday. What the fuck?
Yo, it's crazy, man. Like, yo, I didn't realize Tim Hardaway was 31.
Wow. He's been around for a grip, man. Once a Nick, always a Nick. He's been around for a grip.
Yeah, man. But hey, I agree with you. I think this is going to go 7.
Yep.
I think this one's going to go 7. All right, last but not least, the game is actually on in the background right now.
Sir, yes,
Denver,
sir.
Denver, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
So, as up to this point, ain't nobody figured out how to win a home game yet.
Nope.
You think there's any reason why? Or is this just kind of how the cookie crumbled so far?
I'm probably going to just take the easy way out and say it's how the cookie crumbled so far. I think, you know, Denver, right? So Denver had two abysmal first games.
Yeah.
First two games were abysmal. You had people coming on and anointing Anthony Edwards as the Michael Jordan heir apparent. That Minnesota.
Yep.
I even saw something that the Minnesota Timberwolves were.
To be fair, he dropped 44 the last game.
Hey, bro, I ain't saying he ain't great. Listen, that's not what I said.
Jordan, though. He ain't Jordan though.
Let's curb it back a little bit. Let's be realistic. Listen, bro.
They men even had here for the hyperbole. You don't watch the cliches or the hyperbole.
No, none of that. Bro, they had a graphic that they compared this Timberwolves team to the 09 Lakers.
Oh, stop. Stop it.
Go check the meme folder. I mean, it's in there.
Stop it.
I'm telling you.
They wildin'.
Like,
content must be light.
Come on. Anybody can say anything nowadays. So, this was the first time, and I'll say me, I don't know about for you, it's the first time I've seen Joker actually rushed.
Yep.
He didn't know how to handle this three-headed dragon that was
It's coming a shock, though, man, when you think about it. The way they defend, if you haven't seen it all the time, it's a shock.
Mm-hmm. So, you know? So just look at this real quick. I'm going to just throw a couple of numbers in these first two games.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The starting lineup for the Nuggets was a plus. What was that? Holy cap. They were. Joker had a minus 12. Murray had a minus 22. Minus 9 for Caldwell Pope. Minus 9 for Porter Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Minus 23 for Aaron Gordon. They were putrid.
Yeah.
They put up numbers, but they were putrid. Game 2. Pretty much the same result.
Mm-hmm.
They did not know how to figure out. Did not know how to figure out what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Got a 20 piece extra crispy with a biscuit.
Yep.
So they were already writing them off. Denver is trash. I heard people say that Joker is not the MVP. Like you people, like, I'm thinking about it. And I don't even know what they would have done in the 80s and 90s if you had social media.
Oh, yeah. No. It'd have been a disaster.
So now let's fast forward to game 3. Game 3 comes, and all of a sudden, the pace changed.
Mike Malone earned his check. That's what happened.
You know, that's right.
Yeah.
They figured out how to not only allow Joker to do his thing, everybody played up.
Yeah,
I don't know if there was a sense of urgency. Jamal Murray also.
They took the ball, put it in Aaron Gordon's hands, and say, you bring the ball up and you start the offense, and then we go. And Minnesota has yet to figure out how to make their own adjustments. Because when they ran their regular offense, the switches were happening a certain way. There was being all kinds of disruptive with the way that they were, you know, running their switches, their hedges, them being the Wolves. But in that, you know, game 3, 4, now 5, they're bringing other people up and they're initiating the offense in other places where they can't switch, or the switches become ineffective.
Ineffective.
So you're getting the third switch, and now they're getting all the matchups that they want mm-hmm. and the ball movement that they want later in the clock. Like, they're basically making them work early, and then late in the clock, they get the matchups that they want, and then they get to work, right?
Because they figured out how to rotate to where you're bringing that switch into play for my advantage.
Yeah.
So I again, and it's only in the third quarter, but Denver's up 72-63 right now, with a little bit left in the third. But I'm gonna tell you like this: you're seeing that you cannot in this league only have an individual.
Yeah.
Especially right now. Yeah. This team, late 80s, early 90s, probably because, you know, you had guys sitting around
dead ball,
watching.
You can do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I'm disappointed. I mean this with no malice, but I thought that Karl Anthony Towns was going to be up a little bit more.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be up a little. I mean, not for nothing, but even in their wins, I mean, he was okay that first game. That second game, he was lights out. But then the last two games, he was pretty much ineffective. You cannot be...
He's averaging 18 a game, but it's been like one great game and then some bad ones. And like,
well, it's just been inconsistent. It's inconsistent, right? Yeah. He the last two games in their losses, he was 4-for-7.
Mm-hmm.
He had 5 boards, 3 assists. He had 14 points.
Yep.
He was ineffective.
That ain't going to work.
The last game, he was 5-for-18. He had 12 boards, though. So I like the fact that, okay, I'm not shooting well, but I'm at least trying to impact the game in another way.
Yeah.
But he only had 13 points. Yeah. So
that's not going to do it.
In the playoffs, when you're playing double bigs, only one of those bigs can get away with scoring under 15 points. Mm-hmm. Only one. Both of you can't be under 15 points. In game four, Gobert had 11. Now, Gobert, again, this is not a knock on Gobert because Gobert is doing what he does. Gobert was 11 points, 14 boards.
Yep.
Okay.
But Gobert can't be out here with 5 turnovers, though. When you don't have the ball that much, you can't be illegal screening.
Yeah, you got to play smart.
Yeah.
You got to play smart. But then again, and then look at this. Gobert in the other game, in the game three, you know, he had 6 points. Towns had 14. You cannot have, again, you can't have it where both of your bigs are under that 15-point mark. You can only make it with one if you're going to expect to win.
No. This series has showed, I think, how much the Wolves had to rely on defense all year. Mm-hmm. Because offensively, they can't just bomb you out like they did in those first two games consistently. So they have to rely on the defense.
Yes.
So if the defense ain't what it's generally been all year, and they don't have that second guy, you know, or that third guy, it's got to be Cat, right? It's got to be, if they don't have Cat at least over 20, 24, then their offense goes to shit real fast, right?
Absolutely.
And as much as, you know, Ant-Man is my favorite player right now, and most of the reasons aren't basketball. However, like you said, this ain't the 80s. You can't rely on Ant-Man going out giving you 40 on step backs and fadeaways.
Right.
Because in today's NBA, that don't fly.
And step backs and fadeaways can lead to fast breaks, long rebounds, fast breaks the other way, which now you're forcing. It's a bad it's a bad look. Like, you know, he scored 44. He's a great scorer.
Yes.
But here's the thing. He scored 44 in 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody else.
Yeah.
Only Conley. Yeah. Only Conley was at 15 points.
Yeah. Yeah.
13 for Towns. Yeah. 11 for Gobert. 11 for McDaniels. 11 for Naz Reid.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hey.
You can't rely on one person. You can't. It's too much. It's too much to put on somebody. And Karl Anthony Towns is damn better than this.
Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not bagging on him, but he's better than this. I expect better than that.
Some people don't think so. I do think he's better than this.
Oh, he's better. He's absolutely better than this. He's absolutely.
He's definitely better than this. Yes. Like offensively, for a dude that's an offensive player. Mm-hmm. You got to find ways to score. If the outside shot ain't working, you got to hit the post. You got to start diving. You got to start doing other things because you playing as a double big, right? And Joker's really, they basically play a one big lineup, which means, and Joker's not a leaper. He's not a mover like that.
Nope.
So there's no reason why y'all shouldn't be doing everything you can to get the ball above the square for Cat and Gobert to work.
Right.
Or get things down near the block and say, go to work and force help at some point. Because Denver is switching like anybody else. Like, is this switching lead now?
Do they use Gobert in a high screen and roll enough?
So they do, but it's more of like it's more handoffs and stuff like that. It's like they don't directly put him into the screen and roll as often as I think they should. Not like they did in like Utah, where they was just going through and lobbing and, you know, with him and Mitchell and stuff like that. They should do it more. Anytime you can, you should be trying to put Joker in every action you can. Not because Joker's not a good defender, he doesn't move or all that, but because wear him down. Make him move. Make him, like, keep him involved defensively so he gotta work here before he goes back down there.
I mean, that's simple stuff. It's simple.
Yo. Because then what you end up with when you don't is you end up with what you got right now. Joker's got 29 points on 12 or 16 shooting in the third quarter. And he's really not working on the defensive end like that.
No.
You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I almost feel like this, to me, feels like it's about to be a 4-2 win, a 4-2 series win. They're going to wrap this up in six because I feel like Denver has made all the adjustments in this series and the Wolves are behind. Like, they're still chasing adjustments.
Yes, yes, yes. I don't know if they're going to be able to figure out the adjustments. Now, what can Minnesota do to make this competitive? You need more out of Towns. You need more productivity out of Towns. Towns should never be, he should never have a game that he's only put up 7 shots.
Yeah. 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 And what's crazy right here, right, is
unless you get ejected like Bobby Portis in the first quarter,
he should never see
7 attempts.
No. And even then, on a related topic before we head out, Joker is going off right now. He's got 29 points.
Yes.
People are going to see that and they're going to go, Gobert's trash. He can't da 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 da. If you're the defensive player of the year, da 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 da. And it's like, dog, did you watch the game? Do you see the shit Joker's doing right now?
Yes.
There's nobody that's defending that anywhere.
Did you see that game, that movie pulled the other night? What was it? Today's what, Tuesday? So Sunday night's game. He got down to the just outside the paint on the baseline. He dribbled down. Fake Naz Reid almost out.
Oh yeah.
On just a pump fake.
Yeah, dude. But damn, it ended up in the stands.
But the pace that he did it at.
Yeah.
It was his pace, right? Like they figured that out. Yeah. So you need
LA
to make
fitness, man. Got that LA fitness move on him, man.
You need to make Joker uncomfortable. The key to victory is make Joker uncomfortable. If he's out of his element, you have a chance.
Yeah.
And on the Minnesota side.
Oh, say, if Joseph listening.
Joseph.
Joe, about the Joker can't score when he wants to. Just let him know.
Just go watch the tape.
I don't trust Joker. He can't get you a bucket when he wants to. All right.
Yo, Joe don't trust a lot of stuff. Okay. He got trust issues. He don't trust a damn thing, man. Come on, bro.
All right. One last thing before we head out. Yes. How does Minnesota survive this? Give me 2 points. One offensive point, one defensive point.
Offensively, you need to have Karl-Anthony Towns be more effective, take the pressure off of Edwards to where he's not taking more shots and then icing other people out. That's the offensive piece. The defensive piece, make Joker uncomfortable. Force him into situations where he can't control the pace. We said this so many weeks ago. We said this. Joker has no athleticism, but he controls the pace.
Watch this move.
Oh, come on, man. Come on, man. This dude out here. Come on, man. This dude. This unathletic.
Yeah.
Wow. That's wild. Took it right on him. Shouldered him.
This is what I'm saying. Yo, make him uncomfortable. All right. What are you doing? Maybe we gotta go dig up Wilt.
Oh, man.
Send him to a witch doctor.
The timing
redo
on that.
Wilt like the mummy. Bring him back and see what he can do with that dude.
Frankenstein him together. Oh, hey, my man. Goodness.
Yo, brother.
Hey, bro.
Hopefully this goes long. I don't see it. But, brother.
I don't think so.
I don't know. I don't think so either.
I don't
but
think
brother,
so.
Brother, it's been real.
It has been real, brother.
Thank you so much. And the next episode, I want to talk to you about some, I want to talk about this, I want to get your thoughts on this Shaq and Joker exchange when he saying, you know, congratulations, and I'm the president of the big association, but I don't think you should have won MVP, but you did great. It seemed a little off to me, but I want to get when we got more time, I want to get your thoughts on that.
Yes, and maybe we'll give time to the undisputed or the lack thereof undisputed TV show that may not.
yeah. Things that Paul Pierce says
to get you off the TV. But hey, find us on the socials. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're on Threads. We're on Threads, even though we haven't posted much, but we're getting there. We're getting there, guys. Email us, rate us, review us, wherever you find your podcasts, and Ball and Beats, we out.
Yes, sir.
Peace.